The name of my message tonight is Slow Down. It seems that everybody's in a hurry. The Bible verse is James 1 and verse 19. I'll read it. You can follow in your Bibles. I just lost it. I know it's in there. I think I can remember it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And also Proverbs 19, verse 2, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight, Lord, to bless this time we have together. Lord, that we all be strengthened, Lord, by your word. And Father, that we'd have your blessing. And Lord, that everything we do would honor you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone's in a hurry. Everyone is running. Everybody, everywhere you go, people are in a hurry. And I was on the way to a men's prayer meeting on Saturday morning. I was on Interstate 81 going south, and I was in the left lane doing 65 miles an hour, and a car came up from nowhere behind me and tried to push me off the road. So I moved. I just didn't have time to get out of the way. So I moved over, and as I was moving over, they tried to go around me. The point I'm making is this, that person who was traveling, I would guess close to 100 miles an hour before and after, was in a hurry going somewhere that their chances of dying in an accident or being seriously injured increases the faster you go. I'm sure no matter where they were going, if they were late, it would be okay. They wouldn't have died if they were late. But they certainly could have died getting there because they were in a hurry. Everyone seems to be in a hurry. If you remember the song that Simon and Garfunkel wrote, Slow Down, the lyrics of the first was, slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. And as worldly as they are, they knew enough to even in the lyrics of that song say, slow down. You know, when you're young, you don't think, you think everything is moving too slow. So you try and move fast. You try to speed everything up. But when you get older, you try to slow everything down because you know how fast everything is going. And it's amazing. There's the same amount of seconds, the same amount of minutes, the same amount of hours, the same amount of days and weeks in a year, but they seem to go faster as you get older. I can't explain it. When you're a kid, everything drags on. When you're old, everything seems to go by so fast. I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from working hard or doing anything that's productive for God or for any other reason. But what I'm saying is that we're living in a time where everything depends on speed. They're trying to, you're always seeing advertisements for something that gets a job done faster. I used to go to a car wash. You have to get in line at the car wash, a drive-through. Now they have a car wash, and you have to get in line and wait. Now you don't have to. You pay a fee once a month. You can go in. You go in. You don't even have to talk to anybody. The reader reads your license plate number. The gate opens. You go through. And cars can just keep going through, one right after the other. There's no waiting, because everybody's in a hurry. Most people are in a hurry going nowhere. I had a motorcycle pass me once on a highway. I was doing probably 70 miles an hour, because that's what was the speed limit, I think it was in Vermont. This motorcycle went between the two lanes of traffic and went right through much faster than I was going, and turned, wove in between cars, and got off on an exit. For what reason? People are in a hurry going nowhere. The Bible says that we are to be slow to speak and slow to answer, slow to wrath. Everybody's in a hurry. What happens when you're in a hurry is that it triggers in your mind, your attitude, that people get angry because they're in a hurry. And if they can't keep going at the speed they want to be going at, they get angry. You've heard of road rage. People have died, they've been shot, they've been killed, because somebody didn't move fast enough. That could have happened to me that Saturday morning. In 2 Kings, it says that Jehu drove furiously. Everybody's in a hurry, and there's nothing new under the sun. It happened then, it happened 3,000 years ago, it's still happening today. Only we're going faster. Cynthia and I were going to a wedding in Idaho. We had to go to the airport in Chicago, O'Hare Field. Our plane got there, it taxied for 30 minutes. It taxied almost as long as it took us to fly from Scranton to O'Hare. And we had to catch a plane on the other side of the airport. And I saw where we had to go by the chart. And I said, the only way we're ever going to make it is if we run. And that's what we had to do, because if we didn't, we would have missed our plane. We would have had to wait hours to get the next plane. So we ran through the whole terminal. I didn't know I could still run that. And I would look back, and Cynthia's way back there, and I'm waving, I'm up here. She finally got there. But if I didn't get to the gate, we wouldn't have got on. So they waited the extra couple minutes for Cynthia to get there. Everybody's in a hurry. We're always trying to get things done faster. Yogi Bear, one of my favorite people. Yogi Bear said, not that Yogi. he was on a trip with his family, and the kids said, Dad, we're lost. And he said, yeah, but we're making great time. We travel hours, sometimes days, to get to a destination to relax, to get on a plane, or to travel the same amount of time back to get back home, and then you're totally exhausted. So the time that you spent resting after you got to your destination, now you come back home, you need another vacation, you need another time to rest. Why do we think we have to go somewhere to find peace and rest? You can find peace and rest right here. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no greater rest that we can seek than rest in Jesus. People get angry because they're in a hurry. We need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Don't be tempted. Don't be tempted or enticed to fight because you're late for something, because you can't make a goal. People set unrealistic goals, and then they try and meet them and wear themselves out, become all tense and angry because they can't accomplish what they would like to do because they're unrealistic. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directed his steps. No matter what you plan to do, God is the one that's going to determine how fast you get there. And we try and take it in our hands and determine what we're going to do, but God is the one who determines our steps. I have 3 points. For this message, one is spend time with God. He's not in a hurry. You can always reach God. There's no waiting time. There's no downtime. He's always available. You need to have a special time that you spend with God, a special time and a special place, and He will give you rest. And for all the people who are weary, the Bible says, you know, don't become weary from well-doing. This is not to be confused with working hard for God. We all need to do that. But the thing is that we become so enamored with time and speed, and that we forget what we're doing. We forget where we're going. God will give you that rest, but you have to make time for God. You have to have a special place. And if you don't, you have to schedule your time. And if you don't schedule your time, you won't do it. You schedule your time, and you have a special place that you meet with God. And that's your prayer time. That's your time with God. It will slow down your rapidly speeding through time body. Number two, spend time with others. Whether they're saved or they're unsaved. If they're unsaved, then you spend time with them so that you can eventually give them the gospel, or give them the gospel during that time. And if they are saved, it's a time that will help to slow you down, a time that you can share things with others that what God is doing in your life. You need to spend time with others. We are so... I'll admit it. I mean, I'm selfish. We all have a selfish nature. We want the best. We want to put ourselves first. It's a natural tendency to do it. But we need to put others first and not be selfish. That time we spend together with others, with other saved people, is a time where we can share what God is doing. We can encourage one another and be strengthened in that way. And that gives us that time to slow us down, to realize who we are and what we need to do. Don't be selfish. And number three, establish your direction and know where you're going. There's a saying, I don't think I can remember it, but nevertheless, know where you're going. You can be in so much of a rush to accomplish a goal that you miss the reason for the goal. Be realistic in what you want to accomplish. You know, you can say, I'm going to pray for 5 hours a day. I can pretty much assure you, you're not going to do it. It's very possible that you could. But you need to be realistic so that you put God first, God will get. you've heard it preached in here before that we need to show up, you need to be here, you need to work hard, you need to live right, and God will take care of the rest. And it's true. And I can attest to it that it is true. When you put God first, you serve God first, and you have the right attitude, the right heart, God will take care of the rest. You don't have to worry about your job or your food or your car. Establish your direction. Families suffer because people have unrealistic goals. And when you're in a hurry and you're trying to accomplish something and it's not going right, you can become angry. Your family will suffer for it. Your children will, your wives, your husbands will suffer for it, because all you're focused on is one thing. And everybody has to suffer because you're not making your goal. You're unhappy. You heard that saying. The government says that if we're not happy, if you're not happy, we're not happy. Yeah. I'm not saying this tonight to criticize anyone. I'm not saying this because I need to hear it as much as anybody does. You've got to realize that you've got to, you know, there's that saying, you got to slow down, you got to stop and smell the roses. And what that means is that you need to take enough time out of in your life, in your day, to slow down and realize what God has given us. Whether it's a rose or a wife or whatever it is that's most precious to you, you need to realize it and remember who we are, because we would end up becoming so, it would become a habit. Going to church can become a habit, and you forget why you're here. You forget what you're doing. We've got to realize who we are. Jesus bought us for a price, and we belong to God. Everything that we own is God's. We're using it while we're here. And when we die, we're going to leave it to somebody else, and they're going to use it. That saying that the guy who dies with the most toys wins is not true. Pastor always says you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You're not taking anything. You're going to leave everything here. Yogi Berra said this phrase that I've heard forever, it ain't over till it's over. Have you heard that before? His wife said, you know, we're getting old, Yogi. When you die, what do you want on your tombstone? And this is the truth. He said, I just want to say it's over. And she said, where do you want to be buried? She said, your family's in St. Louis. We live in New York. Where do you want to be buried? He said, "I don't care. Surprise me." The point is that we're going to die someday. Why be in a hurry to die? Why be speeding down the highway 100 miles an hour trying to get somewhere, and you're just making it easier to die? I'll tell you, I understand heaven. I know what heaven is like. It tells us in the book of Revelation. God tells us completely and explicitly what it's like in heaven. It's better, obviously, it's better than anything that's here on this earth. But I don't want to go right now. I just don't want to go there right now. I gave a little kid in my Sunday school class, this was years ago, gave him the gospel. He prayed, and I said, he said, "I want to accept Jesus." But he said, "I don't want to go right now. I don't want to go to heaven right now." I said, "Neither do I." Because we just become so used to our surroundings and everything, but it's temporary. It's temporary. And my advice tonight is to slow down and smell the roses. Enjoy what God has given us. It's not sinful to enjoy what God has given us. He's given us a free country. He's given us a beautiful place to live. We have the highest standard of living anywhere in the world. Sometimes when I'm sitting in my backyard, I just feel I'm just not worthy to have this, what God has given me. I'm just not worthy. But I know it's temporary. Someday I'm not going to be there. And the little Austins and the Mikeys and the Ruthies, they're the ones that are going to be filling these seats in the future. So realize that we are a child of God. It's our purpose to worship God and to serve Him with our whole soul, mind, and spirit as long as we live, and not to be in such a hurry that we forget where we're going. We know we're going. If you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. We know that. But we're to make the most of our life while we're here on this earth. We're not to waste the time. We're to make the effort. We're to pay the price, because we belong to God. Don't be in a hurry. I've come to this church now for, I think, 40, 45 years. And in that 45 years time, I've seen people that were born here in this church. I've seen all the little kids in the last 45 years. I've seen people die. And I'm trying to reason or to justify the fact that God has kept me alive for some reason. And I guess that reason is to serve Him. And that's what my purpose is. And that's what I intend to do. As long as I can. And I thank God for my health. And we need to do that. We need to thank God for all the things that we may take for granted. But we need to slow down and remember who we are. Remember that we are God's children. And we're serving God. And He loves us, and what more could anybody want? This body of believers, whether it's this Baptist church or some other independent fundamental Baptist church, wherever it is, is the closest thing to heaven on earth. It's going to, when we get to heaven, it's just going to be a big church. It's going to be one big church up there. And we're still going to worship God. And we don't have to be in a hurry. And there's no speed limits up there. Time goes by very fast. And you have to make the most of it. And if you don't slow down, it's going to go by so fast that you won't be able to explain it. It'll be over. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to encourage you. It took me 76 years to prepare for this message. only because I needed all that time to prepare. And you know, you don't appreciate your pastor until he's not here. And you have to fill in for him. Hey, listen. It's a hard job. It is work. It is extreme work. It's an extreme responsibility. And I appreciate him so much. But when I'm asked to preach, I appreciate him even more. Because I could never come close. All I can do with you is share what I know to be true. And if I get a speeding ticket, I'm a hypocrite. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you are in total control of our lives, Father. And we give you our lives. We give you everything that we have, Father. It's yours anyhow. But Lord, we're acknowledging that it belongs to you. And that you love us, Father. And that you've given us a place.